Some people have really worked with their child to accept themselves, and they're so at peace with themselves because the parents understand that not only is it important for the child to go out into the world and see the world, but it's important to introduce what autism is to the rest of the world so they can be more understanding.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
Hello, 18 Summers Tribe. Jamie here. Today we spoke with Dawn Barclay. She authored Traveling Different, Vacation Strategies for Parents of the Anxious, Inflexible, and Neurodiverse. We're talking about these families with children of ADHD, autism spectrum, physical differences, how to accommodate these children, really prepare them for success, for travel, and to just really empower parents to set up the best vacation and travel experience that they can. Dawn's a veteran travel writer who's written many magazines and publications. She really wants to open up the world for these families of neurodiverse children. She spent her career working in different aspects of the travel industry. She's a mother of two and resides in New York's scenic Hudson Valley. She writes fiction and holds leadership roles in several writer organizations. I think you're going to learn a lot here. The greatest thing that I learned was really, it gave me perspective on how to engage with families that I may see out and about that have neurodiverse children, how to engage or disengage, how I can apply these things with my own children, even my adult child who may get anxious at times. So hope you enjoy.
All right. Welcome, Dawn Barclay. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. How are you?
Good, good. We're so happy to have you here talking about traveling with children that are, how would you say, not neurotypical,
Diverse.
Diverse. Yes. Yes. Thank you. I love yes. that.
Big subject for a lot of our community, because a lot of our community is travelers and adventurers. Mm-hmm. However, you know, a member of the family might have more of the struggles that you talk about and what we're going to talk about today and how to overcome them and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, it's not only your community. One out of every 44 kids falls on the autism spectrum. And when you then factor in mood disorders and attention disorders and physical challenges, you're talking about one out of 10 children.
Wow.
Or one out of 10 families have a child with special needs. So yeah, it's affecting everyone.
And is that what inspired you to write the book, Traveling Different?
What inspired me was when I needed a book like this. Back in early 2000s, there wasn't a book like it available. And I've been a travel writer for over 30 years on and off. And when you see a topic that's needed and hasn't been written about, you want to write about it. I started interviewing for it back in 2008. That's when I spoke to Dr. Tony Atwood, who's really huge in autism and ASD. I spoke to Dr. Ellen Littman, who's big in ADHD, and then I kind of hit a wall because I didn't have patients to speak to and families. And it wasn't until IBCCES came out with a designation called the Certified Autism Travel Professional that I knew exactly how I wanted to write the book, because I knew all of those very trained individuals would have not only tips of their own, but they would have families that might agree to speak with me. And there was so much more information on the internet in the year 2020, 2019 and 2020, there was a lot more out than in the year 2000. So I was able to put it together then.
Wonderful. Do you have one of these travelers yourself? Have you experienced this firsthand?
I have children who I will say are anxious and inflexible. I don't talk about their individual diagnoses or lack of same because they're adults now and it would be an invasion of their privacy.
No problem.
Sure.
No problem.
I just know for us, our 18 summers and family board meeting philosophy was born out of our need to become a blended family. And so, you know, I just so often find that our gifts are close to our wounds. So
we have the autism spectrum in our family as well.
Yeah. Like I said, I had children that I needed this book to help with. I wish I had had these tips when they were younger.
Yeah. So amazing.
I want to ask the straight question. And obviously, Dawn, I think it might be rhetoric, but I want people to hear it. Can you still travel and have a great time, even when you might have a child with that diversity of extreme ADD or autism?
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that's true, because I'm hoping that this book will open up the world to people of people, there were 1,000 special needs families that were recently interviewed by IBC CES. And I keep mentioning this group. It's the International Board for Credentialing and Continuing Education Standards. And they do a lot of the certifications for both autism professionals, autism travel agents, and also certified autism centers. So places that you'd want to travel to. And they did a study of 1,000 special needs families, and 87% said they won't travel. But of those, 93% of those said that they would travel if they knew where to go and what to do, which was, again, more validation than this book was really necessary. So in 344 pages, I give hundreds of tips about how you can travel, where you can go, but it's really more the travel strategies as opposed to just the destinations that are important, because then you can go anywhere. And they're not my stories. They're the stories of these travel professionals, the parents, the mental health professionals, all coming together to give advice. If one strategy doesn't work, another might. So I give several different ideas for each category.
That's wonderful. Now, would you say that your advice and tips could be used with an anxious spouse? I was like, gosh, I feel like the things in which you reference, like we have an adult child who we love to travel with, and we know he has certain things that push him out of his comfort zone or that may put him on one side versus the other, you know, and we've had clients that one was really into travel and the other one was like, I don't want to get on a plane, you know? And so just balancing out all of the relationships in your life, I feel like your tips may be helpful even for grownups.
It might. I think it would depend on the tip and depend on the grownup. And as you hear the tips, you can decide. I certainly don't think that there would be an issue with over-preparing someone and explaining every step of a trip, which is one of the tips that I give, previewing it via video, or there are some things that are not going to work. Like, I don't think showing a picture book to an adult is really going to be the answer. But you can preview things by a video and get comfortable and get buy-in and create a trip around someone's passions. And I'll talk about all that. And that would be true for an adult as well as a child. For older children on the spectrum and with attention and mood disorders, I do have a section in the book that talks about special travel camps for older kids and what sort of vacations might be better for them.
Interesting. What for the younger kids? And I know a lot of our community has younger kids. What would be a good starting point for travel for maybe a family with someone on the autism spectrum? It's been difficult. They haven't tried it, but they're wanting to get out there and take an adventure. What's a starting point for them?
First is introducing the concept of travel. So how do you do that? You have, especially people on the spectrum, they need predictability and a frame of reference. And they need places to go where you can control some of the sensory input. That's really important. So to introduce a child to something like staying in a hotel, before you spend thousands on a hotel stay, why not go to a friend's house or a close relative and spend a night in their home? And you'll instantly see how the child reacts and what you're going to need to bring on your trip to make it better for them. So it might be that you have to bring your own sheets and blankets because they're used to the feeling and they're used to the smell. You might have to bring a fan from home so that you don't hear the noise from the hall. One parent brings a blow-up little swimming pool for hotels where they only have a shower because her kids only will take baths. Some parents bring toiletries because the child is used to the smell and the feeling of those toiletries as opposed to what they might give at the hotel. So that's an inexpensive way to test out a hotel stay. For camping, maybe you want to put a tent in the backyard for a night instead of going and having the first experience being in a campground far from home. For airlines, I've got a ton of information on that. But if you want to try out what the process is going to be before you get to the airport, there are programs offered by various airlines and also by a group called Wings for Autism, which will let you go to the airport. And from the moment you walk in until boarding, you can role play the entire experience and see what it's going to be. So the child does have that frame of reference later.
Yeah, I've never heard of that before. That's incredible.
Yeah, I list a number of programs. You can call certain airlines and they'll have you come to and give you a tour. You just want to create familiarity for the child so you're not springing it on them. If you're going to a destination that is totally foreign to them, like say you're in the middle of the country and you're going to the beach for the first time. That child has not experienced sand. So maybe you want to go to a craft store and buy a bag of sand and put some tarp on the floor and put some sand on there and have them walk on it so it becomes familiar. If you're going from, say, Florida and you're going to Alaska, the child is not used to maybe wearing layers of clothing. Maybe that's something you want to try out before your trip. So these are all things that come from preparation, thinking through the trip from A to Z, and then making preparations for each part. I did mention reading picture books. You know, that's a way for a child to see their favorite character traveling and some of the problems that they encounter. And I do list a number of those books in mine.
Perfect. And is there ways, Dawn, that you can identify airlines that are more
friendly
to this, or resorts or destination places that are more friendly?
Yes. In fact, for airlines, I've listed some in the book that have this program. I know American does it once a year, but I think JetBlue does it more often, or you can just call JetBlue. These things are changing because everything sort of stopped during COVID. Sure. So it's important. And I say this for everything in my book, do your due diligence and double check to make sure that the programs I'm listing are still operational. I list a number of properties, resorts and museums and water parks and theme parks that are either autism friendly or certified autism centers. And you're going to want to call those before you go and understand what they did to earn the designation and what it means, because what they're doing might not be right for your child and only you know your child. So it's really important to do that due diligence. But I do list a number of properties. For example, one resort that's really well known to the community is Beaches. Now, they have two resorts in Jamaica and one in Turks and Caicos, and they are actually the only advanced certified autism centers. They've gone above and beyond to prepare for training and different elements of the resort are set up for people with, you know, who are on the spectrum. I can even read you some of those if you'd like to hear what that involves. Do you want to hear? Okay, so I'm going to read you from the book. At Beaches, families on the spectrum will benefit from in-depth education for the Beaches Resort staff with 40 credit hours on autism sensitivity and awareness, centered on communication, motor skills, social skills, environment awareness, emotional awareness, bullying, early childhood identification and transition to adulthood, and more. Changes to protocol and physical space to accompany various needs. An optional service of one-on-one Beaches Buddy, providing personalized private childcare with a buddy who is autism certified and can be pre-booked for a nominal fee. A dedicated toll-free number to their special services team. There's a culinary concierge program to support special dietary restrictions. There's modified check-in. There's availability of sensory toys, as well as a dream pad pillows for children, and modified design and decoration in kids' camps and key entertainment areas to create a more sensory-friendly environment.
Wow, so that's cool. Amazing.
Yes. Yeah. So that's just an idea of what some of these properties will do. One person I spoke to said at SeaWorld, there was even a sign outside where you feed the seals. And it said, this is what's going to smell like when you walk past this point. Oh. So they could decide whether this is something they wanted to do, if the fun of feeding the seal would be worth dealing with the smell. But at least they had the option.
What mindful and aware, I mean, yeah, it's just so incredibly kind, I think, to prepare so thoroughly, you know, for these resorts and theme parks to do things like that's incredible.
And more of them are doing it. And that's why I have a blog called Traveling Different that's going to back up the book, because things are changing all the time. And I want to try to keep as up to date as I can.
That's great. Now, as much as you prepare, you know, as much as we all can prepare for our diverse experiences, these different travel experiences with our children, what happens when you encounter a space? I'm not certain if you address this in your book, a space maybe becomes not so friendly, you know, or you're in a location in which, wow, the resort itself is super supportive, but maybe there's other people there that aren't responding the same way. Do you ever address those interactions?
Absolutely. There is a long section in the book that was actually requested by my editor, who is very wise, all about how you deal with people who are less than sensitive as onlookers. And some people have really worked with their child to accept themselves And they may go up to someone who's gawking and say, you know what? My name is so-and-so. I've got autism. Look, when I get upset, I flap my hands. Isn't that cool? And they're so at peace with themselves because the parents understand that not only is it important for the child to go out into the world and see the world, but it's important to introduce what autism is to the rest of the world so they can be more understanding. So there will be meltdowns. Hopefully the tips in this book will keep you from getting to that point. You are going to encounter people who have something to say. Some people bring along little cards that they hand out that explain that the child isn't a brat and they're not a bad parent for the kid having a meltdown, but it's just a sensory overload and creating more of an understanding within the community.
Yeah, that's huge. And I wonder, these are things obviously we have to look for, and I'm looking forward to reading more on it. You said, when does the book come out?
It comes out August 15th. It is available for pre-order in the audiobook and the hardcover, but the ebook can't be purchased until the 15th. They can't pre-order it.
Got it. Okay. I think we have to know about the setbacks, but also I'm sure with all these interviews that you did working with all these families, what was the result when you saw on the other side? These families that were like, they were homebound and they didn't feel they could travel. They might've been looking forward to adventures, didn't take them, but now they've put it to use. They've gone out and do it. Like, what are the changes you're seeing in these families going from being stuck at home basically to going out and seeing the world again?
Well, the people I spoke to were going out. Yeah, they were. I'll be very curious about the experience of people who were sort of homebound and read the book. I hope people will write to me and share that with me. I can tell you that the people who travel with their children just have a great bonding experience. And they shared with me some of the problems that came across, like maybe one father was like, well, we found out at Disneyland or Disney World, they don't serve ice cream before 10 a.m. And their kid had a big meltdown because of it. And they had to call their travel agent. They had a certified autism travel agent who was available to them. And she told them where in the park to go where the child could decompress. But then there are other parents who explained what they had learned about pacing, that you can't travel with a child on the spectrum the way you did when you were single or before you had kids. You have to pace maybe one or two experiences a day and then call it a day and relax. One agent said, you know, when he goes to the Atlantis in the Bahamas, there's a hotel nearby where you can get a day room and they give you free passes to Atlantis. So when the child becomes overwhelmed, if the child becomes overwhelmed, they can go and take, you know, use the room. Even though they're off the cruise for a day, they have a way to just decompress that way.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I can see all these things. I've never even heard of an autism certified travel agent.
Yeah, CATP, Certified Autism Travel Professional. There, I interviewed quite a number of them for the book, and I list in the back how to get a hold of them and to even get a hold of ones that are not interviewed in the book, because I think that's such a valuable resource.
Gotcha. And was there any brand of hotel that stuck out as maybe the favorite that you saw just doing?
Well, beaches sounded pretty amazing.
Beaches sounded incredible.
Beaches was universally, everybody loved beaches, just like everyone loved Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines as one of the leading cruise lines. Yeah, but there are the five major cruise lines all have programs for children on the spectrum. There's a company called Autism on the Seas that organizes group cruises for families on the spectrum. So that's a really great resource as well. Hotels. I will tell you, there are cities where the tourist board gets really involved in getting the certification and then encourages everybody in town, whether they're a restaurant or a museum or a water park or whatever, to also become certified. So places like Mesa, Arizona, no matter where you go, ton of hotels there, a lot of restaurants, a lot of museums and venues, they're all have the certification. Visalia, California just followed suit. You've got Myrtle Beach in South Carolina, which has worked with the Champion Autism Network to get certified and to have a lot of, you know, different hotels certified and restaurants. So they're all listed. I haven't seen a hotel chain as much as theme parks like Legoland and Six Flags and the Sesame Place. Those have some hotels attached, and that might be true, but there wasn't like one hotel chain that every hotel had gone that way.
Curious on that. That's good to know. That's good to know.
I was wondering, returning back to if you encounter people that aren't as understanding or as kind, now what should our listeners know and what should we know if we come into contact or experience someone having an epic meltdown and flapping? Is there anything that as a parent who has traveled and all of this advice that you have, how should others that are present in the space respond? Like any supportive favorite words or behaviors, you know, anything that, do you acknowledge it or do you ignore it?
As the traveler that doesn't have the child?
Right.
You know, I've said this before, that's somebody else's book. I mean, I can only tell you, I've been the traveler where I was not carrying the screaming baby, and there's not a lot you can do. But there are some parents who come on with an explanation. They tell you in advance what might happen. They might give you some chocolate and some headphones and maybe a mask to wear. You know, some people do that because they're prepared to encounter the families. But I mean, it's usually not that long a flight and the baby has to fall asleep sometime.
Now, I know in the past, like what's been said to me when our boys were younger and our oldest was placed on the spectrum, he was since retracted, but that's a whole nother podcast. But oftentimes people would say, boy, you have your hands full, you know, and it was like, I never knew if it was a compliment or, but it never felt like a compliment in those moments. And I remember just saying, yep, I'm super blessed. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yep, I sure do. They keep me fit, or yep, some other retort back. But it's like, I think sometimes people don't understand exactly what words might would be helpful, you know, like, wow, beautiful family, or you're doing a great job. I know that those are all things that would have felt really nice.
Yeah. It's hard to educate the whole world though. And there's always going to be somebody who doesn't say the right thing. I will tell you that you did the right thing. I mean, to me, your child is the one you really have to concentrate on and everything else should fall away. It doesn't matter what other people think. Your responsibility is your child. I will tell you, when I was on a flight coming back from the Caribbean, my husband was on one side with my daughter and I was on the other side with my baby son, who decided to vomit all over my silk shirt just as we were about to take off. So I put my cardigan over my shirt and the woman next to me asked this flight attendant if she could move. That was great. And then my daughter started screaming on takeoff because of the pressure in her ears. So my husband, being ever resourceful, pulled out the vomit bags from the front of the seat pocket, took out his crayons and created barf bag theater. And he created a little puppet show for her. And they always remember that as the favorite part of the trip. And we had that came back again and again as we would fly because they really liked that. So it was just sort of dealing with it with humor and just like, this will end one, you know, this will eventually end. You just have to have that mindset is like, let's get through this. Let it be as good as it can be for my child right now. And we'll deal, you know, I don't care about anybody else. Sorry about that. I care about my kid.
I think it's a great attitude.
Absolutely. And before we ask our final question, Don, I would love for you to tell our listeners where they can find you and learn more about you, where they can find your book.
That would be great. Yeah. If they go to travelingdifferent.com and that's traveling with one L, they will find the places they can order the book, which were all the standard online retailers. Also, be sure to ask your library to stock the book because that way people who can't afford the book will have access to it. You can also find the blog that will be the update of the book on there. And it's called Traveling Different, Vacation Strategies for Parents of the Anxious, the Inflexible, and the Neurodiverse. Because all children, when they're taken out of their comfort zone, become anxious and inflexible. So I feel that these tips can work for everyone.
I completely agree.
Yep. I think it's a great point. Well, our finale question, Dawn, has become kind of a tradition. We've all gone through, oh, what would I tell my 21-year-old self? And that's a great exercise, but we had to get more wisdom through the pandemic and times over the last 2 years. So we started to ask ourselves and our guests, what advice do you think your 75-year-old self would give to us today? So we're looking down the road. So it's an older, wiser self. What advice do you think your 75-year-old self would give to you or to all of us today?
Is this related to parenting or anything?
Anything.
Just give yourself a break. Forgive yourself more often. Deal with self-compassion. And maybe don't hate yourself every time you eat a chocolate bar.
More self-compassion, give yourself a break, and it's okay to have
more chocolate.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here with us today.
Yeah, thanks for being there, Dawn. We'll look forward to reading your book.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Take care. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.